I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, nationally syndicated radio personality Tom Joyner might be best known for his old-school rhythm and blues, cheerful patter, and community crusades for better health and education. But today, he is taking on a very different campaign to clear the names of two of his ancestors who were executed for a murder they almost certainly did not commit. Tom Joyner will tell us more about that in just a few minutes. But first, President Obama is expected to visit New Orleans tomorrow for the first time since entering the White House. He'll host a town hall at the University of New Orleans, but he's also scheduled to speak at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Charter School in the city's lower Ninth Ward. Hurricane Katrina devastated the public school system there 4 years ago, like so much of New Orleans' infrastructure. And as the city rebuilt itself, many education advocates saw the opportunity to start from scratch. At the time, New Orleans had some of the nation's lowest test scores and highest dropout rates. One of the first phone calls made was to Paul Vallis, who'd been lionized as a public education reformer for overhauling school systems in both Philadelphia and Chicago. Now he is the superintendent of the Recovery School District of Louisiana, which took over the Orleans Parish School Board right after the hurricane. Now Paul Vallis joins us now on the phone, where he's on his way back to New Orleans from his hometown of Chicago. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
So the president is going to be paying his first visit to New Orleans since his inauguration. I think presidential visits can be a mixed blessing. On the one hand, people appreciate the attention. On the other hand, sometimes there's a burden of scrutiny that comes with that. What are you looking forward to when he comes?
Well, I'm looking forward to giving the president kind of a bird's-eye view of just what school reforms are bringing to the city of New Orleans. About 60% of our children attend charter schools, and within the next 2 to 3 years, about 80% of the district will be charter. It's a 100% school choice district. It's a 100% site selection district, meaning faculty and staff are selected based on their abilities and talents and resumes, and they're promoted based on their performance. Even the handful of remaining schools that are not charters have charter-like autonomy. So it really gives them an opportunity to see a district that is being built from the ground up and a district that's being built to benefit kids. And so it's, I think, really going to be an eye-opener. He'll really get a bird's-eye view on just what the impact reforms are having on the city.
Well, what's he going to see? What will his eyes be open to?
Well, if you look at the King School, it's a 100% charter school. It's also a school that's been rebuilt like so many of the schools. With federal dollars.
You mean physically rebuilt? The school itself has been rebuilt.
Exactly. We're receiving very little, if any, state or city support for school construction. The entire physical rebuilding of the district is being financed with FEMA dollars, insurance dollars, and with community development block grants.
Talk to me, if you would, though, about why you're such a fan of charter schools. As you know, the data on achievement of charter schools is all over the place. I mean, in some places, the studies have shown that charter schools have outperformed traditional public schools at mm-hmm. some grade levels, not at others. So what is it about the charter school experience per se that you feel enhances educational achievement?
You have to understand the charter school movement is really a rebellion against institutional obstacles to designing schools to benefit kids. We have an 11-month school year. Charter schools have a much longer school year than is required by the state. We're able to promote people based on performance. And, of course, we're a 100% choice district. So parents can apply to 25 different high schools and 50-plus elementary schools.
The question, though, is do you see a difference in student achievement? And as I understand it, test scores in your district, which are called LEAP scores in your area, are up for the third time.
Yeah, dramatically, I might add.
But achievement in New Orleans schools is still pretty low compared to national standards and even the rest of the state. So what's the standard that you think that parents should be looking at to determine whether these reforms are making sense?
Well, you look at graduation rates, you look at attendance, you look at dropout rates, you look at the percentage of kids going on to college, you look at test scores. Now, the Recovery School District only takes over failing schools. So we're only taking over schools that, in some cases, have test scores in the teens. And then our job is to fix those schools and to then return those schools back to local control. But if you look at the Recovery School District the last 2 years, every subject, every grade has improved. And in half the subjects and in half the grades, the improvement has been double digit.
You've worked in some very different systems. Obviously, there are similarities in a number of the places that you work. But Chicago, Philadelphia, now New Orleans, at every location, the thing that you are known for is instituting changes that some people call radical, some people call sweeping, you know, whatever term sort of you like to use. What do you think is the through line of what works?
First, schools have to have an instructional strategy. It's absolutely critical. Data-driven instructional management programs translate into higher performing schools. Second is you have to allocate enough instructional time on tasks to enable kids to meet the standards and to allow you to focus the additional time needed for language arts and math without shortchanging the other core subject areas. The third thing is you have to be able to build your staffs by having the freedom to select teachers and promote teachers based on their qualifications and based on their accomplishments. And then finally, giving parents choices to create competition among districts, among individual schools, because there needs to be accountability. And there's no greater accountability than parents deciding not to send their children to your school because it doesn't have a high enough level of performance. I mean, competition is an accountability tool. And then finding a way to institutionalize a role for the community to play in that local school so the community can take ownership of that local school. I think when you see those five things, we'll guarantee you a successful school.
You know, there are those who argue that the bigger problem with American education is that we refuse to agree as a nation on what kids should know and when.
I think there's something to that, but I think many states have worked really hard to align their standards. The bigger problem has been the lack of focus, the lack of investment in curriculum instruction, and our failure to recognize that if kids are going to reach these higher standards, they're not going to reach these higher standards with a school day that is grounded in a largely agrarian economy.
I did want to ask you about, there's a report coming out by the Southern Education Foundation in Atlanta, and it concludes, and I'm reading here, that significant recent improvements in K-12 student learning in New Orleans are in jeopardy unless the federal government fulfills its, quote, lingering responsibility, unquote, to help rebuild the city's public schools. Do you agree with that? Are there lingering responsibilities that you think the federal government owes to New Orleans public schools, and are you going to be bringing those to the president's attention?
Let's just say that my mission is to institutionalize reforms with the resources that we expect to be receiving over the next 10 years. Number one, they have an obligation to reimburse the district for the considerable E-rate expenditures. The E-rate program is the federal program to reimburse districts for investment that they make in giving their schools internet capacity, et cetera. And right now they seem to be confused over the fact that all these schools are new schools and the new names, and they can't make the connection between the pre-hurricane years when the schools were under different names and when the E-rate money was being spent. So there's about $60 million that's owed to the district. Secondly, we need to reach a final settlement with FEMA so that we can secure all the monies that we're entitled to complete the physical rebuilding of the district. And then third, we hope that the president's insertion of stabilization money into the Department of Education's budget for hurricane-impacted districts, because the stimulus package actually hurt the hurricane-impacted districts like New Orleans, because the distribution formula was based on the 07 census data. Mm. We actually didn't get any new stimulus money. You know, but I think it's important for the president to visit so he can really press the flesh and get a on-the-site view of the incredible things that are happening in New Orleans, because and you can't do that from a distance.
Paul Vallis is the superintendent of the Recovery School District of Louisiana. He was kind enough to join us by phone as he travels back from his hometown of Chicago to New Orleans. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Well, thank you for having me.